The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, hope you enjoyed your 4th of July weekend. You know, I still feel like we're a little bit on vacation. Anytime you have a shortened week, it's like leading up to that, and then after that, it just feels vacation-y, sort of relaxed mode for the next couple of days after. As I came in here on Tuesday to record the show, that would have been July 5th, after a long, fun weekend, and I did that because of my guest today, Jeffrey Levine. He'll be joining me in just a few minutes, and I'll give you that intro of Jeff as he gets ready to climb into the seat here. Hey, I had just a lot of fun this weekend. I had a great 4th of July get together. We let off Chinese lanterns. I know maybe that wasn't the right thing to do with the dryness, but I felt like we were pretty safe there. We had a great fireworks show, food truck, band, tons of people at the house. It was fantastic. So I just love celebrating America. I love celebrating freedom and the fact that freedom is not free. And we celebrated that with all of our friends, families, loved ones, people I had no idea who they were. And if you happen to have been at my bash and I did not say hello, it's because I just didn't see you. Otherwise, I would have stopped to say hi. So again, with that, on and upward as we enter second quarter behind us, third quarter in front of us, and just a lot of cool things that we're going to be keeping our eye on. Someone passed this along to me, which I just thought it was interesting to put this in perspective because, you know, as we talk about time and things, they just continue to move faster and faster. And again, I didn't fact check any of this, so if I got some of it wrong, you know, again, it's just me regurgitating some information that was sent on to me. They talk about the year 1922, 100 years ago, what a difference a century makes, and just what some of the stats are then versus now. But I'll just talk about then. In 1922, the average life expectancy for a man was 47 years old. Fuel for cars were sold right in front of drugstores only, and only 14% of homes had bathtubs. And the maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles an hour. Only 8% of homes had phones, and there was just a lot of interesting things here. People, the average wage was 22 cents an hour. Lots of different things. 90% of doctors had no college education. Instead, they attended so-called medical schools, which they were condemned as, in the press, as government subsidized or substandard to college educated. But nonetheless, lawyers the same way. Just on and on and on as you look at some of the things that have occurred in the last 100 years. 2 out of every 10 adults could not read or write, and only 6% of Americans had graduated high school. There were a lot of drugs that are illegal today that were sold over the counter back then, and pharmacists would say things like, this particular drug would clear your complexion, give buoyancy to your mind, and regulate the stomach, the bowels, and a perfect guardian of health. Shocking, right? There were only 230 murders reported in the entire United States of America. Just so many things that we've accomplished in the last 100 years. And I just wonder, as we go forward, what will the next 100 years look like? You know, and I think most of us, like probably back then, they didn't have a positive view of what the next 10 years or next 1 year, 10 years or 50 or 100 years look like. But God willing, we're still all here. And not me, none of us will be here that are listening to this program, but hopefully the Republic of the United States of America will be alive and well and thriving. And, you know, just overall positive thinking, right? Because I know I didn't make it to the parade this year. Heard there was a disruption there, very unsettling, because golly, come on, we're just there to enjoy ourselves. And again, celebrate patriotism and freedom and independence. And, you know, sometimes people need to take a break. And I always say there's a difference between harassment and free speech. You know, free speech is your constitutional right. You can't harass people, right? So it is what it is, but that's just where I stand on things today. Hey, before we get Jeffrey on the phone, let's give a little shout out to our sponsors of this segment, which is, of course, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician like they are mine. Give them a call at 812-361-3604. They specialize in solar arrays, which have been getting a workover the last several weeks, right? My swimming pool clocked in at 92 degrees, the water temperature. Whew, that's more like taking a bath, right? Then we have Kenny Blaine Auctions. They want to be your full-service auctioneer. Give them a visit or call them, but call them over in the country because they're still out in Whitehall. So maybe visit them at KennyBlaineAuctions.com is the best way to handle it. And if you've put this off, now's the time to do it. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. I'm not going to go through a bunch of tidbits of the week as my feed for some of that information is delayed because of the holiday and the fact I'm doing an early broadcast this week. So I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts, especially when it comes to the economy and recessions. Because if the U.S. is actually in a recession, and we'll know sooner than later, technically, and I know tell everyone we're already kind of in one, but it doesn't feel like one, or I'm sorry, it's more of a strange one. Economic output is going down, but the job market is strong. When you look at the number of recessions we've had, the U.S. economy has experienced 12 recessions. That's it. Since World War II, and each one included two features, every single one of them, economic output contracted and unemployment rose. Today, economic output fell in the first quarter, and signs are that it will in the second as well, which will give us our technical recession. But the job market showed little signs of cracking during the first half of the year. It's the latest in an odd trajectory of the economy post-pandemic. And it's kind of a riddle for those contemplating a recession. If the U.S. is in one or near one, it doesn't yet look like it or anything else that's ever been on record. Analysts sometimes talk about a jobless recovery. That's after past recessions where economic output rises, productivity goes up, but employers keep shedding workers. But the first half of 2022 was just a mirror image of that. A job-full downturn in which output fell, but companies kept hiring. And whether it'll spiral into a fuller and deeper recession, that's not known, but most economists believe it actually will. Now, when I always say when more think that it's going to happen than don't, it normally does not. So that's a comment or thought of the day. But some companies, especially in the tech sector, have given indications they will be pulling back on hiring. Though across the broad economy, the job market has rarely looked stronger. So just a thought about where we are on things today. We have recession indicators. We have looking ahead, even though most pessimistic economists see a modest job recovery or modest job downturn in the months ahead. About 2 in 5 surveyed by the Wall Street Journal said they see at least a 50-50 chance the U.S. enters a recession in the coming year, but among them, few saw a big increase in the jobless rate. That's kind of interesting, 50-50. 50% chance it will happen, 50% chance it won't happen. That's that old you can't be ever wrong or ever right kind of a rock and a hard place mentality. All right, guys, let's take a break and let's get teed up for my friend Jeffrey Levine. I'll give you a quick bio on him so we can spend more time with him. He is the chief planning officer with Buckingham Strategic Wealth. He has made it easy for people to understand planning and instills confidence in their ability to achieve these plans. I've known Jeffrey forever. We're cut from the same cloth. He serves as a technical resource for advisors across the country in what he refers to as evidence-based planning concepts and strategies. He has excelled at distilling complex financial law and policies into understandable resources. Again, I hope that's something that I've been able to do for you over the past 20 years. He does train and educate hundreds of advisors and support teams as well. Jeffrey is nationally recognized as a thought leader within our planning community. Prior to joining Buckingham, he served as CEO of Blueprint Wealth Alliance. He's an active speaker, travels the country, every year to educate thousands of financial advisors, CPAs, and attorneys, and consumers on retirement tax and estate planning issues. He is cut from the same cloth as Ed Slott. In fact, his mother is a partner with Ed Slott. And Jeff was part of that group, went off to blaze his own path. Now he's back with Ed as far as collaborating on some things. He is the author of the Financial Advisor Savvy Guide to IRA Planning. He's a regular contributor to Forbes.com, promoted retirement and tax education on television stations such as CNBC, Fox News, CBS, public television. He's regularly sought after by journalists for his insights and frequently quoted in publications throughout the country, including the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, New York Times, Washington Post, Investment News, and many, many more. So when we come back, we'll be joined by my good friend, Jeffrey Levine. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone, to Your Money with David Hayes. Jeffrey Levine is our guest, as I promised from last week. He joins me now live on the phone. Of course, Jeffrey is all over the place. And as I mentioned, he's a regular contributor to Forbes.com. He has promoted retirement and tax education on television stations all around, such as CNBC, Fox News, CBS, public television, he's all over the place, USA Today, New York Times, Washington Post. And Jeffrey, I've known you, my friend, a very, very long time, well before you were known in these circles that you're now known. Tell me how you got started in this. I certainly know how you got started as a young Jeffrey Levine, but give us an idea of where you got started and kind of where you are today and sort of where you see yourself going with this, really what I would call a movement or a mission to educate people, including advisors like myself.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, it's been great. I mean, I've had the privilege of knowing you for, it seems like my entire adult life. And, you know, I never envisioned myself being in the financial planning business. I always imagined being a doctor, and through a bunch of amazing series of twists and turns and a good bit of good fortune and being in the right place at the right time, I kind of found my way into this business. So one thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is that my mother is the managing partner of Ed Slott & Company. And I know you've had Ed on the show a number of times over the years. And, you know, Ed being kind of the guru of IRAs, everyone always thought, well, of course, he was always meant to be in the financial industry. His mom's a managing partner. This was always the intention. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. And, you know, I was just fortunate enough to be helping out at an event where they were, putting on for other advisors like yourself to help educate them, and was just kind of lamenting the struggles I was having in terms of finding a career path, you know, like so many young people today are. And I had an opportunity to go work with an advisor who kind of helped me get licensed, show me the ropes, and ultimately that didn't quite pan out the way I had initially intended. But what was really interesting was it gave me an opportunity to really learn and to grow. And Ed put me in touch with this other individual who had just published a book. And I went and I read his book, and I said to Ed, I said, you know, we're having this meeting. I really want to be upfront with the guy, but I don't know if I tell him that there are mistakes in his book. And Ed, you know, of course, said to me, there can't be. And I know this guy is a great advisor. And I said, Ed, you know, I've been listening to you for a long time. You know, Dave, my standard line is always, I knew how to roll over before I knew how to roll over. and, you know, just from being around the office. And so I ended up faxing Ed the pages, and he humored me. He took a look at them, and not long afterwards, he called me back. He's like, son of a gun, you're right. Like, why do you know this? And I said to him, like, Ed, I just osmosis. I've listened to you for 15 years. Doesn't everyone know this? And, you know, it turned out that they were really esoteric, deep stuff in the IRA and tax code. But everybody has kind of their things that they're really great at and things that they struggle with. One of the things that's kind of unique for me is you sing a song twice and I remember the lyrics. So having heard Ed just in passing say all these IRA rules over the years, it just became kind of second nature for me. And so not long after that, I ended up starting to work with Ed Slott & Company as one of their technical consultants. And that was a great run, almost a decade there before starting my own financial advisory business. And now I spend about A good bulk of my time as the chief planning officer for an RIA, a wealth management firm. And then I spend the rest of my time effectively still traveling and doing presentations and educational workshops for financial advisors, writing for financial advisors, CPAs, and attorneys on complex planning issues. And to your point, like, it is really a mission. It's a calling for me. I was lucky enough, you know, some people are lucky enough to be born into a lot of money. I always say I was lucky enough to be born into a great education, right? My mom just happened to work for the, the preeminent thought leader when it comes to retirement accounts in the country. And I was able to kind of soak up that and since have expanded my areas of interest beyond just IRAs, but that process of learning and how to learn and how to go about doing right by people and always putting the individuals you're working with first and foremost, which sounds so simple and yet, you know, in this business, Dave, as you know, you've run across lists like me all too often. That's not always the case.
That's right. And Jeffrey, just so you know, I know the course only of about 20 songs. So we'll go over that next time we get together. But, you know, it is great. my memories of a young Jeffrey Levine, seeing you grow professionally, having a family, seeing you again at some of these meetings, and then hearing what's coming up is pretty cool. And one of them is a podcast that you mentioned, Ed, that you guys have either launched or are getting ready to launch, which is going to be, in my opinion, really cool because we're all pretty well on the same side of the fence in our opinions of where we think things are going and what you need to do now to protect yourself from that. But there's always a counter argument, and that podcast is going to be great because you guys are going to argue the counter side of what we actually all agree upon. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, so we're as we sit here and as we stand today, we are all set to launch. And so hopefully that'll happen here within the next week or so. You know, Ed's schedule and my schedule are both pretty intense. So we wanted to make sure that we had recorded at least enough episodes with a buffer to make sure our publishing stays consistent even when our schedules are a little bit more complex. And so we kind of slowed down and now we're ready to go. And really the concept and the title is called The Great Retirement Debate. Again, that's The Great Retirement Debate. And the whole concept, as you laid out, is, you know, there are kind of two sides to every coin. Now, oftentimes, most of us will feel pretty strongly about a certain area, but there's always that what if or hey, you know, how about looking at it from this point of view? And so we're just going to pick topics and we are going to have to argue one side based on a coin flip. So, for instance, Dave, let's just imagine, let's imagine, David, that we were saying at 62, you should take Social Security. Well, you might feel very strongly that most people should do one thing, and I might actually agree with you, but show the format at least is we'll flip a coin, and one of us is going to have to argue that you should take your Social Security at 62, whether we believe that or not. And even if we think, you know, personally that we shouldn't be going there, there are always some merits. There are things that people should know about or benefits of doing that, that if you're going to delay, let's say, you should at least be aware of so you're making an informed decision. And that's really the mission. More informed people make better decisions, and better decisions on the whole lead to better outcomes. And that's our mission here.
The Great Retirement Debate. I'll certainly plug it in my radio show and podcast as well and share it to all that I know. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more with Jeff Levine. A lot of things have happened in the retirement area. Secure Act, Secure Act 2, they're calling it, changed a lot about how Americans will be saving for retirement, how they must take their retirement money when it comes to that time, and some really strange things when it comes to required minimum distributions that I've really thought through a lot. I'm going to express those that stuff to Jeffrey, and then we're going to kind of discuss that as well. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Levine. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everybody. This is Your Money with David Hayes. My friend Jeffrey Levine is with us. He is, of course, an outstanding financial advisor, a major think tank guy, and he has been quoted in many national publications as well. And we appreciate your first appearance, I believe, Jeff, on this show. You mentioned Ed being on a lot, so hopefully this is one of several. I won't wear you out. I promise that. I've had Ed maybe once or twice a year, David McKnight once or twice a year, Mary Beth Franklin once, all names that you're very well familiar in our circle have been on once or twice a year to kind of complete this show. Hey, let's talk about what's happening in the world of retirement. Secure Act back on March 29th passed the House, calling it a securing a strong retirement act of 2022. It headed over to the Senate. They do what they normally do, give it a little bird bath, and they'll send it back. Give us a heads up on what's changing about how Americans will be saving for retirement. And then also we're going to get into some of the things on how and when they must take their money out as well.
Yeah, sure. So this is, you know, one of those interesting things where we've got a couple of different retirement-related initiatives and changes all happening at the same time. So a number of years ago, we had Secure Act 1.0, if you will, the original version of the Secure Act. Many of your listeners will probably recall that that was the bill that changed the RMD age from 70 and a half to 72. It provided some new 10% penalty exceptions and a whole assortment of other things. And there are still some clarifications coming out about that that we expect to see sometime perhaps later here in 2022 regarding how individuals who have inherited IRAs must distribute those dollars after inheritance. At the same time, Congress is currently working on a second version of the Secure Act, what some people have called Secure Act 2.0. Now, there are actually different versions in the House and the Senate, and we'll see where they ultimately line up, but they do share a lot in common. One of the things that they share in common is the ability to have increased catch-up contributions. So as you get closer to retirement age today, once you hit age 50, there's an increased ability to make contributions to both IRAs and plans. Well, this would further expand that ability in plans, increasing those catch-up contributions even larger for some. It would also create an index of the IRA catch-up contribution, and that's been the same for, you know, seems like almost, I think it might be almost 15-plus years at this point where we've had new inflation adjustment on that. So all of that would allow those getting close to retirement to potentially sock away more. What's really interesting, though, and what has my attention, perhaps more than anything, is the fact that these enhanced catch-up contributions for plans, 401ks, 403bs, et cetera, there's a provision in there that would require them to be made in Roth contributions. So no more, you could do no more traditional. Again, this is just proposed, but that's what the proposal is. And in addition to that, it would allow Roth SEP and Roth Simple plans, and it would even allow your employer's matching contribution to be made to a Roth account. It would require the individual to pay tax on those dollars, almost like a Roth conversion, but the employer could make contributions then to the Roth. And that is really significant because I know, you know, David, a lot of people, when they talk to me about retirement, they think about the Roth. One of the most common questions is, can I trust Congress to keep its word that the Roth will be tax-free? And while, you know, I don't know that I could guarantee that, so to speak, I think it's worth pointing out that if anything, Congress is trending more towards the Roth, not away from it. Congress loves the Roth because it's probably the only thing that we can think of on this, you know, and we're two reasonably intelligent, you know, educated individuals. It's probably the only thing that we could collectively think of that people like that brings in revenue now. Mm-hmm. And so that is something I'm really paying close attention to is Congress maybe going to go the other way? Are they thinking about potentially getting rid of traditional style accounts where you get a deduction and making everything Roth? And what your listeners may recall is that leading up to the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, that was that big tax law passed by Republicans when President Trump was in office to lower taxes for, you know, the highest income earners. It created a larger standard deduction, like huge changes. Well, up until about a month before it was passed, part of that bill was getting rid of regular retirement accounts and making things only Roth. Precisely for that reason, to bring in dollars. So I'm paying very close attention to that.
Well, as we say in our world, this stuff's like whack-a-mole, right? It gets its head up, they whack it down. It gets its head up a little higher, whacks it down, and sometimes it comes to fruition. And that's what we're seeing here. I think these folks are smarter than we think when it comes to creating tax law, because the other piece of this is the required minimum distributions. And when you look at how they plan to phase this in to age 75, which has support on both sides, it's interesting that it's 2030 when this goes into effect where you're 75. Now let's put some pen and paper to this. The peak of the baby boom generation, arguably, was born between 57 and 61. How old will the peak of the boomers, 57, be? Well, how old are they now? They're 65. In 10 years, in 2032, they're going to be 75. Only the largest retirement accounts, in my experience, wait and take RMDs. People need the money. And, oh, by the way, not only are you going to have to take the money out later, it's going to be more money out at an unknown tax rate. And, oh, by the way, you're going to die sooner than you would have prior. And then your kids are going to have to take it out sooner and pay all the tax. So we're going to increase revenues now by turning it all to Roth, delaying income later to try and, of course, cover the massive deficits and debt that we have. Have you given that much thought as a major thinker in this realm?
I mean, you can't argue with the math behind it. I mean, the facts are as you laid them out, right? I mean, you do have peak baby boomers coming to that point, and you are exactly correct. It's only about 20% of individuals, and that was pre-pandemic, but I suspect it's back to close to that now. Only about 20% of individuals take out only the required minimum distribution, and everyone else takes out more. And if you're taking out more than the required minimum, it's only because you want to take out more. And it stands to reason you're doing so because you've got bills to pay and life expenses, as you pointed out. So telling someone who's already taking more that they can take even less doesn't help them, right? Like, it's just not going to impact them. This is, as you said, going to help the ultra wealthy. And look, if they're lucky enough to work with an advisor like you, David, they may be fortunate enough to take those years, that 72, 73, 74, where their income is lower, and use them to create even more tax-efficient Roth conversion years. But that's only if they're thinking about that proactively and working with an advisor like yourself. Otherwise, they could end up hitting that age 75, and as you pointed out, having an even larger required minimum distribution that is taxed at an even higher rate. If nothing changes between now and that point, the top rate, is going to be up an additional, 2.6% from where it is today. And that's if nothing changes. And most people believe tax rates are likely to go higher than to stay where they are.
It's fascinating math, and as I really analyze what you just said, we're going to possibly make the current contributions Roth, so they collect revenue now. They're delaying about $30 trillion of tax-deferred retirement accounts, expected to be maybe $80 trillion in the year 2032, 2033. And at that point, who knows what type of – it's fascinating to think about, and like you said, Jeff, to work with folks that understand this math and the mathematical – not just possibility, not just probability, but absolutely it's going to happen. We're going to have to deal with this stuff to pull some of that income forward. Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the strategies that you can do now to get you out of the crosshairs of higher taxes coming. And then if we have some time, Jeff, I want to talk Social Security, because years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, you did a presentation that was the best I've ever seen on how your Social Security benefits are calculated, and then some of the ways, even under the current rules, how to maximize your benefits. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Levine. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes, joined by Jeffrey Levine, who has a storied career already as a young man. And I'm looking forward, Jeff, to what the next 20 years brings for you and your business, your family, and just what kind of unfolds. So we appreciate you being on the show. I know your schedule is extremely tight. And when I asked you to be on the show last November, you said, I'll do it for you. And I said, I appreciate that very, very much, because I know how you're pulled in lots of different directions. Jeff, I know we have a brewing problem in America. It's very well documented, over $30 trillion of debt. There's a budget being proposed that will likely create trillion-dollar deficits for the next 10 years. Only makes the problem wider. The Congressional Budget Office estimates us to be around $45 trillion in debt in 10 years, which they're always wrong. They're always too low, not too high. We have an issue on our hands, and we have trillions of dollars in tax-deferred retirement accounts. And, you know, at some point we have to start paying the bar tab. So as we talk to you, people like you that are at the highest level in the country, they hear me all the time. But it's almost like when I'm telling my son something, right, to do this, you need to do this, and then my good friend comes over and says the exact same thing to him, and all of a sudden the light bulb pops on. It's like, oh, wow, I guess I should do it this way. So take us down the path quickly. What are some things that people need to be considering now to take care of themselves, their families, and their entire legacy, really, when it comes to their finances?
Well, I think the first thing is setting the right goal, right? If we're talking about taxes, too many people focus on the wrong goal. They focus on how do I make my tax bill lower this year? And while that is great to have a lower tax bill, at the end of the day, the winner of the tax game is not he or she who has the lowest tax bill in any one year. It's he or she who has the lowest lifetime tax bill. That is the winner. And in fact, some people, many of your listeners perhaps, are so fortunate that they've accumulated enough over their lifetime that they won't even use all their dollars, and it becomes he or she who has the lowest generational, lowest tax bill. And so we've got to get our heads out of thinking, like, I need to lower my taxes this year. If your income is low, or you've got high deductions, or things like that, it means you're going to have a low tax bill. Well, that, as a tax planner, is a terrible thing to waste, right? It sounds almost blasphemous to some of voluntarily paying higher taxes, but if your tax bill is low, if it's too low, if you will, you are actually wasting valuable good space that we could push other income through today at. Now, that could be simply taking money out of tax-deferred accounts because you want to spend it, but more often than not, it's because we're looking at things like Roth conversions. That's one, right? That's a big play that we can have more tax efficiency. I think the second thing would be is thinking beyond just what do you own. A lot of people, David, they have this a pretty good idea of what they should own, meaning they should be 60-40 investors, right? 60% stocks, 40% bonds. And I'm oversimplifying for our discussion here, but they have a good sense, right? Oh, I should be 70-30 or 60-40 or 50-50 or 90-10 or whatever it is. They've thought about that. And again, I'm oversimplifying. They might have alternatives or other types of investments. But while most people have at least, most people with savings, I should say, and investments have given some thought as to what that asset allocation should be, that's only one of the what I consider three key questions. What should you own? The other two are how should you own it and where should you own it? And those have a lot of weight when it comes to taxes. So let's just take one investment, real estate, right? Well, That's what should you own. Then the next question becomes how should you own it? You could own it as a REIT, right? You could own the Vanguard REIT. That's one way to have exposure to real estate. There are very different ramifications from a tax point of view to doing that versus going out and buying the house next door to you and renting it out, where now you get depreciation and you get all these other sorts of tax benefits tied to that perhaps you don't get directly by owning an ETF that has real estate or a mutual fund that has real estate in it. So there's that second question of not just what do you own, but how do you want to own that specific asset? And then the third one, which also has a lot of tax impact, is where do you own it? Many people, many of your listeners, have some money in traditional style retirement accounts like IRAs, 401ks, etc. They may have money in tax-free style accounts like Roth IRAs or even life insurance to some respect. And they may have money in taxable accounts like an individual account or a joint account or a revocable trust account. And if you think about that as being a pie, right, your tax-free, your taxable, and your tax-deferred assets. Think about that as like a pie chart, a pizza pie, and overlaying that on your investment pie. The question is, how do you like put those over one another? How do you superimpose your tax assets with your financial assets to create the most efficient, tax efficient portfolio possible? And very few individuals that I run across have really optimized their portfolio for that. And that's just giving away money. You can have the same kind of risk and return profile, but end up with dramatically more or dramatically less because of where you own specific assets.
Let's take another quick break. We have Jeff for one more segment. Let's get into the Social Security discussion, because like I said, Jeff gave an outstanding, the best I've ever seen, presentation on Social Security a few years ago, and I want him to share some of his knowledge with you. We'll be right back, folks. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, I did a podcast, sometime. I've now done 25, 26 of them, and I did one on the granddaddy of them all when it comes to retirement income and ways you can maximize that income on Social Security and how the current taxation works of that. And I'll tell you, Jeff, when you gave a presentation to, I believe it was the Ed Slot group, maybe it was a different group that I was with, I don't remember.
You're right, that was it.
Was it? Okay, and you laid it out not just on when you can get it, you know, what happens if you delay, what happens if a spouse dies, how the taxes work. I mean, we can look up that on Google. But you were digging deep in the weeds in this stuff. I mean, I was walked away like, holy crud. I mean, these are things that I didn't know, you know, at all. And I felt like I knew it pretty well. But it is still super important for people to recognize this is one of the most important income streams for folks in retirement, and to understand how it works and how to maximize it. And every individual situation is so important. So take a few minutes, if you don't mind, and just kind of walk us through your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that I look at when it comes to Social Security is, what is its purpose? And we again, starting kind of with the end in mind, Social Security is effectively longevity insurance, right? It's probably the single greatest source of longevity insurance that there is out there. And I get into kind of arguments sometimes with folks who say, well, yeah, but if I take my Social Security now, I don't have to touch my IRA or my 401k as quickly, and that can continue to grow, and I'll do better there. Well, good luck with that. You know, we love to help people manage their assets and grow their assets, but at the end of the day, Social Security is a lifetime guaranteed income source that is inflation adjusted. And today, with what's going on right now here in 2022, with inflation kind of spiking as it is, that becomes more and more and more important. Pretty much your other sources of income that can be guaranteed, whether they be annuities or pensions, rarely do they keep up with inflation as much as Social Security does. I won't say Social Security keeps up, but it's as close as you will generally get. And it's a tax efficient form of income. Because as you and I both know, David, if you take a dollar out of an IRA, you are generally going to have to pay tax on at least that $1. If you have a dollar of Social Security income, the most that can be taxed on that Social Security is 85 cents, which makes it a comparably tax efficient form of income. I mean, just kind of posing a rhetorical question to your listeners, you know, what else could you have done in your life? How much more could you have done or saved if 15% of every paycheck you had received while you were working had been tax-free, right? That's powerful, and that's Social Security. But with that benefit also comes the drawback that is a complex formula to determine how much of your Social Security is taxable. Because if you have low income, it can be $0. Your Social Security can be entirely tax-free. But as your income rises, more and more Social Security becomes taxable. And I'm sure you've talked about this before, David, but that gives rise to what is called the Social Security tax torpedo.
Right.
Which, for your listeners saying, like, what the heck is that? That sounds like some crazy name people came up to scare us. Well, it should scare you, because what actually happens is you end up paying tax on more than $1 for every dollar you receive, right? You might find yourself, let's say, in a 12% bracket, but you end up paying tax at what is effectively, you know, a 25% rate or close to it, because for every $1 you may receive or take out from an IRA, for instance, you not only must pay tax on that $1, but you must also pay tax on an additional 85 cents of Social Security. And that creates some very weird spikes in rates. you know, we talked about the highest rate before for high earners. David, you know, as I do, that you don't get to that highest rate today until you're about $550,000 or $650,000 of income, depending upon your filing status.
Right.
And that top rate is 37%. And yet folks with about $50,000 or $60,000 of income can actually find themselves paying a true 40.7% rate today. I'll repeat that because that sounds a little high. 40.7%. When you do the math and you are subject to this Social Security tax torpedo in its, let's say, its worst form, that's the rate you can pay. And when we talk about timing of when to take dollars, when to do Roth conversions, it all plays into that. If you can do something to avoid paying a 40.7% rate, you do it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's interesting because the more income you take, sometimes you can lower the rate. So it is a complex web of information and math that gets you to a point where it kind of makes sense. And that would maybe you only need maybe $20,000 to do something, but it might make sense to do a Roth conversion with another 50 or something like that to get you into the optimal tax bracket. So, that, you know, here's the thing. Ed said it best years ago. We love complexity. We love changes in law because guess what, Jeff? That gives us a job, right? A job that we love to do every single day, helping people navigate these important and technical issues. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time. We could do an entire show on Social Security, but just giving people just a little nugget of information to say, wow, if I didn't know that, there's probably a lot more that I don't know as well. So, Jeff, thank you, and hopefully we'll have you back again sometime later this year.
I look forward to it.
All right. Tell Bobby Joe hi and those quadruplets that you have, including yourself. Your kids look identical to you. I'm not sure if that's good, bad, or indifferent. I think your mom thinks it's okay. That's the main thing. Grandma thinks it's okay.
My wife could probably, yeah.
We'll leave it on that, brother. Hey, have a great one, and thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, all right, Ben.
Let's take a break, folks. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Well, the good news for all of you, you get to Google Jeff Levine, the Buckingham, they call him on Twitter. He's very, very well known in our circles. Please follow him, you know, on Twitter. He's very fat, writes a blog, has a lot of great things going on. And we talked during the break about him coming back on because there's so much, right? And there's so little time. So he's like, anytime, man, you need me to come on, you let me know. And he says that, but I asked him last November, and we're in July of 2022, and we finally were able to make it happen. So I'll probably start on him maybe in the next month about doing something in the fall. And certainly once the SECURE Act or whatever they're going to end up calling it passes officially, there'll be tons of information that you guys need to know about and learn about and understand how to take advantage of what's in front of you. So it's been fun having an opportunity to be here with you guys. If you haven't listened to the podcast, please check it out. 2025, The Final Drive, what you need to know to win. And man, every time people are like, how are you going to keep doing this? Well, every time I'm like, he just gave me another idea on the tax torpedo and how to avoid it. You know, it's like, bang, just reminding me. And then this helps people in about a 12 to, you know, 15-minute podcast. So, hey, I hope everyone had a fantastic 4th of July like I did. Looking forward to the second half of the year. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Have a great one, everyone. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.